As we said in introducing the reading from the Old Testament, here from Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 26, that command from God directly to Jeremiah came around just approximately under 600 years before Christ, 596 or 597 BC. And my text is found here in verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. The message, the commission, the directive from God was abundantly clear. So simple, so clear, that even a child could understand that message. So the word came from the Lord directly to Jeremiah as a message of warning to the southern state of Judah. And that was a warning that came just about 10 years before the final fall of the city in 586 BC to the Babylonian army, which had besieged the city for about 4 or 5 years before the final thrust in, 586 before Christ, a dreadful year in Jewish history. And they destroyed the temple, and they laid the city walls to the ground, and desolation was everywhere in the city of Jerusalem and throughout the countryside of Judah. Now, this prophet Jeremiah had been preaching to them, appealing to them, endeavoring to persuade them for 18 years prior to this to turn away from idolatry and to worship Jehovah in spirit and in truth. His appeals, his preaching, his pleadings all went unheard. They refused to heed his constant messages. And judgment was about to fall. Now, it is a similar position today in Britain. The gospel is largely rejected. The evangelical message is refused in so many places. And generally speaking, right across the spectrum of England, Scotland, oh, pray for Scotland at the present time. Pray that the Lord will move in the Church of Scotland and turn her back again to the doctrines of the Reformation and the times of John Knox. Pray for the Free Church of Scotland, the continuing Free Church of Scotland, because they are fighting an uphill battle in Scotland against this whole process of secularisation. And the Scottish Assembly is a disgrace. Right across Scotland, down in England, and there into Wales, the land that has seen revivals 1904, and all of that, what do they do now? They sing their hymns in public houses, and their churches are largely unattended. The cracks are appearing and have been appearing for quite some time here in Northern Ireland. We do thank God that in the Republic of Ireland at the present time, there does seem to be a listening ear from Roman Catholic people to the gospel. I'd ask you to pray for that little Reformed Baptist church there in Dublin. You know the pastor, Mark Fitzpatrick. I was there about a year ago, and there were about 30 attending, 29 of whom were former Roman Catholics, and one girl in her 30s had been reared a Presbyterian. Things are happening, even on the Falls Road and places like that. But out there, and I speak largely in connection with the city of Belfast, among the Protestant estates, and I use that word Protestant a very large way, there is complete, almost complete indifference to the gospel. So we're all going to have to be the church militant. The state of Judah was about to be invaded by Babylon. And Babylon, when we look back in history, Babylon was the seat and center and core of idolatry. And many of the Hebrew people would be dragged away into slavery in Babylon for 70 years of captivity. God sent his prophet with that direct message into that situation for to preach national and religious repentance, and to do so with fearless integrity. And that's the type of preaching which we need today. There are some very important points to notice here. In verse 2 there, the first point is the commission. Jeremiah, go and stand in the courts of the Lord's house, and Jeremiah, you are to speak all the words that I command you. Diminish not one word. And largely speaking, in the Lord's house today, there must be no diminishing, no lessening of the word of the Lord. There is a disease running through our Protestant denominations, a disease of worshipping God, not in the biblical way, but in ways that would lead, even if the process continues, to idolatry. Too many preachers for several generations have diluted the force of gospel truth. Too many preachers today, even today, have failed to warn people like John the Baptist to flee from the wrath to come. And that is coming, as Christ foretold in that great discourse before his crucifixion. Many preachers have tried to modify the force of the gospel, lest people should be offended, especially so-called important and influential people in congregations. And so many preachers have compromised and have become men-pleasers instead of God-glorifying preachers. What the people of our day need is a faithful declaration of the whole counsel of God, right across the spectrum, on the preaching of the whole counsel of God, without reserve, without subtraction, without tampering, and without hesitation. Tell it straight. Tell it plain. Take nothing from it. And that should be the method of preaching in all ages. And those who preach accordingly face the cross in their ministry. That was the commission. And then we have the location. In the courts of the Lord's house, stand there and preach. And that's what we ought to be doing right across the spectrum of our Protestant denominations. Stand there in the pulpit and preach the word of God. No subtraction, no diminishing, no reservations, and no hesitation. Do it in the court of the Lord's house. Because the message must come first of all to the visible church. That is where judgment begins. Say unto them, God says to Jeremiah, say to them, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, then I will make this house and this city of Jerusalem a curse. So to the house of God first, and then to the city, and then to the nation. For many generations now, even in Northern Ireland, we have had not only backsliding individuals, but backsliding churches. Because a backsliding church is a social and a national curse. It fails to fulfill its commission. It comes under God's judgment. If the light of God's truth grows dim in a congregation, a church, a denomination, then it can no longer properly maintain its power to witness. I'd like to quote an old Australian preacher here. He preached about the 1920s and the 1930s, James Smith. He says this, that raw heathenism is not such an obstacle in the way of the gospel as is Christianized humanism. The commission, preach. The location, in the Lord's house. The third point is the message. Verse 7 there, Jeremiah chapter 26. So the priests, they were there at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. He was an obedient prophet. Jeremiah was obedient to the very letter to this commission. In other words, he preached the right words in the right place at the right time. If you do not repent, and this is the message to Britain today, if you do not repent of your evil ways to the British government, to the Scottish Assembly, the need to be rid of evil men out of Stormont, the need for laws to be brought in that are in line with the principles of the Word of God, the moral standards of our historic Christian faith. It's a great turnaround which is needed in Britain today. A great reversal of the situation. And only by the power, the moving of the Holy Spirit, that can be achieved. But what is our part? To pray urgently for the movement of the Spirit of God across the British Isles. I am further afield. United States of America needs it. Canada needs it. Australia needs it. This is a message to which Britain must listen today. And if a nation may refuse to heed it, worse judgments than those already upon us will inevitably follow. I think it was Lord Grey said just prior to the First World War, when he was weighing up all the situations there that were going inevitably to lead to that dreadful war, that massacre, he made the statement, as he watched what was happening in the various countries in Europe, the lights are going out one by one. Now that's the situation realistically today. That's the situation you as a congregation have got to face. That I in my place in East Belfast have got to face. That the evangelical and especially the Reformed churches have got to face. The reaction of the priests and the prophets, the school of prophets there in Jerusalem, and a large number of the public, was to imprison Jeremiah, put him to death. Our forefathers, your forefathers, Scotland, the Killing Times, Congregation of 1662, forced out by the Romanizers in the English and Scottish churches, prepared to die for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And there are believers dying today in Indonesia, in Nigeria, in China, in North Korea, in Burma, in Central India, Sri Lanka, Mexico, under severe pressure from the powers of darkness, which are all around us today, and we should wake up to that fact. And they are witnessing. And we are so comfortable here at the present time. But let us be aware that the lights are going out one by one. And the time is coming, unless the Lord in a sovereign manner steps into the situation and intervenes, we are going to be facing severe pressure as well. Especially those of us of the Reformed faith. If we preach as God told Jeremiah to preach, then we can expect opposition. And like Jeremiah, the preacher must tread the way of the cross. And the church must be seen to be a church under the cross. If we're going to be realistic about the situation, the fourth point here, the results. Judgment did follow. They would not listen. Jeremiah was imprisoned. And in 586 BC, Babylonian army besieged Jerusalem, destroyed the walls of the city, burned the temple to the ground, and carried away thousands into captivity for 70 years. They did learn certain things in captivity that they should have learned in their civil and religious liberty. There was no temple in which to worship in Babylon, and into being came the synagogues. I think it's true to say that since Babylon, the captivity, the Jews, even to this day, are not guilty of idolatry. I certainly hope that that is true, that they have learned a lesson. They have to learn a lot of other lessons, of course. Now, when the Jews of our day, and this is why I read from that great discourse before crucifixion of Christ, when the Jews of our Lord's day refused his message, when they rejected him as their Messiah, they crucified him. The professional religionists, Ananias, Caiaphas, the Jewish priesthood of that time, they crucified him outside the wall of the city. But what happened? They brought down upon themselves the judgments of God. As the Roman army under Titus, its general, AD 70, Christ crucified AD 33, AD 70, the Roman army destroyed the city and the third temple, and the streets of Jerusalem literally ran down in rivers of blood. They knew not, as Christ said, the time of their visitation. Is that happening to Britain today? It surely is. The warning sounds today for church and state. God in mercy, grant that the message will be heeded. So, in conclusion, prayerful consideration is required when we look around us at Britain today. Not just the mainland, but also our own province here, Northern Ireland, where the cracks in the wall are already appearing. What is the situation? We are right into the midst of a collapse of Christian culture. Much of the great benefits of having evangelical Christianity with our nation for centuries and the spiritual influences of the Protestant Reformation, these are all going. The darkness is deepening, and it hasn't happened all overnight. Take the line through the generations. Humanistic philosophy into the 15th, 16th century. Darwin's theory of evolution, 19th century. The 1960s, the Beatle culture. The Beatle culture, their music is destroying our churches at the present time. I wouldn't even call it music. I'd call it noise. It's alarming. The pure worship of God is being destroyed. And then the bringing in of new absolute standards of right and wrong, as set forth in Christian moral standards. The rejection of God, Christianity, all being replaced by the New Age movement. The charismatics, so-called charismatic movement, the word charismatic is wrong there, but that's what it's called. It has emphasized experience at the expense of gospel truth. And what has happened in the late 19th century and through into the 20th century, seminaries and theological colleges, denominations, liberal theology, many of the churches took a sledgehammer to the Bible. That has weakened the church. And that's part of the battle that men of my generation have had to fight. Friends, what are we left with? What have all these things brought about? We are left with depravity and divorce and distraction and despair. People living a pointless life. Suicide, violence, homosexuality, lesbianism, euthanasia. Proverbs 8 and 36. Solomon was right. All who hate me, says the Lord, love death. That's the situation. As I close, I put into verse some words written by G.K. Chesterton, who's a Roman Catholic. But these words are applicable. From all that terror teaches, from the lies of tongue and pen, from all the easy speeches, Cameron and all the rest of them, that comfort cruel men, from vice and profanation of honour and the sword, from sleep and from damnation, deliver us, good Lord. And let the church pray for the necessary deliverance. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word today, here and elsewhere, for Christ's sake. Amen.